The professor at Florida International University, infectious disease specialist, Dr. Eileen Marty. Good morning, Dr. Marty. How are you today?
Good morning, Bob. How does this holiday season look to you these days?
Well, I'm encouraged by a headline in the Chicago Tribune today. Post-Thanksgiving virus surge not yet realized. At least around here, our positivity rate has been creeping down just a little bit. Does that mean we're not going to get that surge in Illinois? What do you think?
I think you've already had a surge.
Oh, really?
You're sort of topping it a little bit. Yeah, I mean, the numbers that I've been looking at from Illinois have not been very good.
Well, they're high, but I guess, and the point of this story is that they're not as high as in other places around the country, like California, for example.
Right. There is that. But if you look at the numbers that you've had, they're really quite alarming.
Let's talk about the vaccines. And that's what we're all waiting for. And the Moderna vaccine might be authorized by Friday. Is that better than the Pfizer vaccine? Which of those two is your choice?
Well, I just last night was looking over the data that was released by Moderna, and it's really very, very comparable to the data that had been released by Pfizer in terms of how they did their study, what happened with the placebo group versus the group that got the two doses. And there were 11 people in the group that had the two vaccines after 14 days who they measure lack of success if after two doses and 14 days someone still gets COVID. And so they had 11 of those people in comparison to the placebo group, where in total for the time that they were members who received placebo, I think there were about 185 cases. And that's how they got their number of 94.3% efficacy.
Mm-hmm. So realistically, when would the positive effects of vaccinations be seen? How long before we're really rounding the curve?
Well, Bob, that's going to be a while because Pfizer is trying to get us over 100 million doses and maybe even as many as 150 million doses by June, right? Which, of course, that means half that many people would receive the vaccine, right? That was Moderna. Pfizer has only guaranteed doses until March because that's the way we purchased it in the United States, and that's 100 million doses. And if you look at the size of our population, that's simply not enough right now. So they're in negotiations to be able to perhaps do whatever is necessary so that Pfizer can produce more doses. But they're obviously people, countries and nations from around the world that are demanding these vaccines as well. And Pfizer doesn't belong to the United States. So, it's a challenge. But what's trying to be worked out now is to get more of the supplies to Pfizer that it needs by negotiating with other firms, because there are components to every vaccine, right? So if they can get more components, they might be able to produce more vaccines sooner. The upshot of what I'm telling you is that we need to have 70-75% of the population immune to have a real impact on this. And right now, only about 10% of our population has even had coronavirus by CDC serologic studies. So, and even among those 10%, not everyone properly developed the right kind of immunity that these vaccines stimulate. Hmm. So it's going to be a while before we get to that number of 70-75%. Don't expect any significant changes, for the entire population until sometime in the late spring, early summer.
Do we know yet for sure how long you're protected after getting a vaccine, after you get vaccinated by one of these?
Bob, you know, this is why I love talking to you. You always ask the right questions.
Because I'm a dumb guy about all this. I don't know anything.
No. It's very important. And it's, you know, so the bottom line is the study lasted 2 months, right? Each of these studies lasted 2 months in terms of people who had fulfilled their two doses plus time, right? And the bottom line is that's it. That's what we know. That in that period of time, in that 2 month interval, roughly speaking, it gave roughly 95% efficacy for both vaccines. A little better than 95% for the Pfizer. A little tiny bit less than 95% for the Moderna. So, what's going to happen at 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, a year? Nobody knows for certain. However, there's good evidence that looking at these particular cells that we want to build up that are memory T cells and memory B cells, it looks like the from the people who have been, you know, that their blood has been analyzed, that they are developing them. So if people can produce these memory cells that are going to last a year or 2 years, then we can have a real significant level of protection for a significant amount of time. You want that to be a minimum of a year and preferably 8 or 9 years.
That would be great. In the news this morning, we're hearing a lot about this new $30 over-the-counter at-home self-test where you get the results in 20 minutes. Is that going to be a game changer?
Well, you know, I haven't really had a chance to study it. I heard about it last night just like you did, and I was busy preparing, you know, and my students are on finals, so I can't really answer the question of what the quality is of that and whether or not there are going to be false positives and false negatives, which is really what we need to know to be able to evaluate that and tell you just how useful it is to have that information. But look, if you take a test enough times and it has a reasonable level of specificity and sensitivity, and it's inexpensive enough to do it on a regular basis, yeah, it can be a game changer. But as I understand it, it costs about $30. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about you, but you know, I'm not keen on spending $30 a day to check a test result.
Yeah, not if you have to do it, you know, for like a week. And we're still getting a lot of questions about blood type and what's known now about who's more susceptible to the virus based on their blood type. Any new research on this?
Well, yeah, there's been. Here's the thing: when you think about any kind of infectious disease, right? I mean, and that could be caused by any germ you want, okay? Name a germ. Virtually, there's always going to be factors that affect whether somebody, when that germ gets into their body, gets sick or doesn't get sick, right? And among the many factors that we already know affect things are what are the markers on the outside of the cells that people are born with, right? And among the markers, of course, are the ABO group. And there's been there's an interest in whether the ABO group has an impact on susceptibility to getting sick and susceptibility to getting severely ill. And there's been several studies that show that people who happen to be born with type A blood seem to be more susceptible to showing illness from this infection and more susceptible to a worse outcome or having a more severe level of disease than people who are type O or B. Mm-hmm. Obviously, somebody who's AB has enough A that they fall into that group of having higher risk.
Thank you for that. And by the way, next time I talk to you, it will be after Christmas vacation. So I want to wish you a happy holiday Zooming, and all the best, Dr. Marty. We appreciate your expertise here every week.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and have a wonderful holiday season.
You too. Thanks.